Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in today for Brian Lehr. The allegations that Woody Allen molested Dylan Farrow when she was 7 years old resurfaced after the filmmaker was recognized with a Lifetime Achievement Award at this year's Golden Globes. Articles continue to fall out from each side of these accusations. The account of Dylan, Mia Farrow's daughter, was published by the New York Times last weekend. The paper is currently considering publishing a response by Allen. But a lack of evidence and conflicting stories clutter this debate. It's unlikely the public will know definitely what happened. But we want to hear from you as consumers of culture. When respected artists like Woody Allen are accused of something very serious, how do you respond? Do you embrace a personal boycott or separate the artist from his work? We want to hear from Woody Allen fans and fans of other artists where something has come up, where you admire their work, but they have done something that disappointed you or accused of doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable. How do you respond? Phone number to call is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. And joining us now as your calls come in is Matt Zoller-Seitz. He's a TV critic for New York Magazine and the editor-in-chief of RogerEbert.com. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So this is there's a lot we don't know here, so it's a lot to figure out what to say in the court of public opinion. But when something like this comes up generally, is there a way that audiences have typically responded? Is there an initial kind of pulling back, and then it fades away if something is not definitively proven?
Well, it often fades away even if something is definitively proven, unfortunately. I mean, it's just a fact. It's a historical fact. The entertainment business is filled with people and has always been filled with people who have done unsavory and in some cases morally reprehensible or criminal things. That's just the truth. I mean, you know, movies, television, rock and roll, you name it. I mean, you can go right on down the list. The novelists, I mean, we're celebrating, celebrated William S. Burroughs' birthday, I think, yesterday. You know, look up his biography, see what the story is there. You know, Norman Mailer stabbed one of his wives with a penknife. We could go on. But yeah, I think in time we're able to factor these things in and look at it as something with a bit of distance, as sort of one kind of piece of a larger puzzle. But when the artist is alive, it's really raw. It's really ugly. It's really hard to get a handle on.
And in Woody Allen's case, these accusations were first made more than 20 years ago in 1992 during a custody battle. What happened then to Woody Allen and his audiences?
Well, what happened then was, you know, it's funny because I don't think, I remember at the time most of the discussion being about Sun Yi. And the Dylan stuff was so horrendous. It was just, I think people didn't even want to think about it. It was something where I sensed a kind of a collective revulsion at the very thought of it. And Woody Allen's art changed. It changed after that. All of a sudden, he had been working references to child molestation jokes. There are all these little offhand jokes. And Esquire and Vulture, which employs me, both did catalogs of all the references. Those disappeared for the most part. Although the stories of considerably older men and younger women persisted and have continued to this day. So you know, we watched that change take place. But it, I think that people saw it as tabloid fodder, as kind of a grotesque spectacle. It feels different this time around. I'm not sure why it feels different. I'd like to think it's because society has evolved. But social media probably has a lot to do with it. We don't have that sort of membrane between us and the celebrities that we're being talked about.
We're getting some calls. Virginia in the Bronx, where do you come down on this?
I was saying that I've been on my own personal kind of Woody Allen boycott since he went off with Mia Farrow's daughter, you know, back in the 90s, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that was a father-daughter relationship, and this is, you know, and that was basically, you know, tantamount to incest, you know, on one level. And so it's, really annoyed me all of these, you know, all of these years off and on, that that blind eye has been turned to that, which, you know, we know about, you know, that's not even a matter of, you know, speculation or what's proven or unproven. That's, you know, right out there for everybody to see.
And for you, was it more that you didn't want to support or put your money towards his work, or just that you felt uncomfortable consuming his movies?
No, I didn't want to. Yeah, I didn't want to add to the Woody Allen jackpot, you know, for somebody that I, you know, believe has really done something reprehensible. Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Virginia. Stuart in Manhattan, what do you think about artists and their work?
I like to separate the artist from the work, and I've always felt, and still do feel, that their work will outlive the artist's transgressions. And as far as Woody is concerned, a lot of this is disgustingness by degrees. If you go back to Sinatra and his relations with the mob, and Richard Rodgers womanizing, and all this kind of stuff, either you can't take the artist because of his behavior, or you separate it. And I choose to do that. And as far as Woody Allen is concerned, Woody is amoral. He always has been. And it's not, and Polanski too, you can throw into that soup mix. But it's a question of just where do you stop? Once you start digging, you're going to find people who live in that environment, in that world, where all these pleasures or sins are thrown at their feet. Going to find that if they haven't been outed, then there's, they're just lucky.
All right, Stuart, thanks for your call. Carol in Harlem?
Yes, hi.
Have you changed your attitude towards Woody Allen's work?
I actually stopped seeing anything he produced when he decided to marry his stepdaughter. I just think there are certain lines you don't cross over, particularly if you care about children and protecting them. And so I haven't seen anything he's produced since then, and have no intention of doing so. It's my own personal little stand.
Going back to the early 90s, thanks for your call. And John in New Jersey, what's your position on this?
Yeah, I usually separate the artist from his personal life. And in Woody's case, unfortunately, there's no concrete evidence. It's all accusations from one side and the other. Personally, I was more creeped out about his marrying his stepdaughter than anything else. But I still see his movies, just as I see Roman Polanski's movies, because I think they're great art. I try to separate their personal life. But I think in Woody's case, he is a little bit creepy, but there's no concrete evidence, so you really can't make a you can make a judgment on it, but it's based on just accusations from either side.
All right.
Well,
it's
important, though, I think, to allow for the fact that this is not just any sort of, you know, he borrowed my car and brought it back in bad condition. I mean, this is pretty.
These are very serious allegations.
It's about as serious an offense as one person can commit against another, and it costs the accuser a tremendous amount in terms of social and emotional capital to talk about it. And that actually is one aspect of this whole brouhaha that I think is really important, which is, and it's largely because of Facebook and Twitter. But people are talking about this. They're talking about physical abuse, sexual abuse in families, and how hard it is to muster up the nerve to even talk about it, much less bring a criminal case. And no, we cannot know what happened. And I think that's a big part of the reason why there is such anger about this case, why people get so, I mean, really angry when they talk about this case. And if you try to say, we don't know, which is factually true, we don't know, it makes people angry. And I think the not knowing is a big part of the reason for the anger, that we're not going to get, you know, justice or closure, really, unless Woody Allen suddenly comes forward and says, yes, I did it, in which case his entire body of work ceases to be about what we always thought it was about and becomes a record of a child molester hiding in plain sight. And I seriously doubt it's going to come to that, but also I don't know. And being comfortable with the not knowing, I think, is at the heart of this for a lot of people.
I think that's a really important point. I was thinking about famous people who have been completely destroyed by revelations, and I was thinking of Paula Deen, and in that case we had transcripts of depositions where she was talking about, you know, attitudes that seemed racist to a lot of people, and she lost her entire empire. In this case, as you say, we don't know.
Well, and who would make some, you know, the phrase, who would make something like that up, comes up a lot. Every discussion I've had about this, it's come up. And I think, yeah, we can say, all right, let's first of all establish that according to studies I've read, less than 10% of any kind of abuse allegations are found to be in some sense inaccurate or untrue. There's almost always some truth to it, especially if a little kid is talking about it. But at the same time, who would make something like that up? That sentence has been the inaugural spark in a lot of horrible conflagrations throughout history. The McMartin preschool case, people who went through that would probably say that who would make something like that up is not a great read to hang something on. The lynching of black men on false rape charges throughout the South, was a lot of that came out of who would make something like that up. And it is not an insult against the experience of people who have survived abuse, any kind of abuse, to point that out and insist that we take it into account when we are talking about this. But again, you hear the emotion in my voice. This case, this incident, has gotten under our skin. And I think people want to move on from it because it is so, it's primordially ugly.
And the decision we can make as consumers is, what to do with that, what to do with Woody Allen movies. And that's what we're talking about today and taking your calls. John in Hoboken, what do you think?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Joe, it's interesting your guest mentioned something about a molester hiding in plain sight based on his movies. So I wondered if I could to direct your attention to the movie Crimes and Misdemeanors. Very quickly, in that movie, there's two main characters, one played by Woody Allen, I forget the other actor's name. And Woody Allen has a lot of idiosyncratic, neurotic worries that he's guilty about. But the main character had something really bad that he did, which was he had his mistress killed because she was about to wreck his marriage and ruin his life. And these two parallel tracks go through the movie. And then, spoiler alert for listeners, at the end of the movie, those two characters find themselves in the same place. And a really bad guy explains that you can't live with yourself, you can't live with yourself, you can't live with yourself, and one day you wake up and you just can live with yourself and you're over it. And he has moved on despite the fact that he had someone killed. So Woody Allen, to me, has always been fascinated by amorality, and I think he lives his life that way. And I think some artists, just to finish the point, because in their world how they feel is so important to what they do and their identity because it informs all of their work. I think that they think that if that's how they feel, it's okay, irrespective of the rules of society.
Well, you look at Roman Polanski, whose name keeps coming up whenever Woody Allen is discussed, and not just for the obvious reason. What are so many Roman Polanski movies about? Often they're about individuals who are traumatized so profoundly over such a long period of time that they lose their moral compass and they go crazy, or they become criminals, or they do whatever it is they think they need to do to survive, whatever the word survive means. That's what artists do. They investigate their own experience and the experience of people that they know, and they turn it into a story. They turn it into a statement, and that's what Woody Allen has done. I think if these very same allegations were made against somebody like, Jerry Seinfeld or... Well, you know, Pee Wee Herman got caught masturbating in a porn store in the 80s, and his career was effectively over. I think if he had been a different sort of artist, it might not have been.
Paul in Manhattan, are you still watching Woody Allen movies?
Absolutely not. I kind of got away from Woody's movies. I was a fan of his back in the day when he married his stepdaughter, Soon Yi. And when these allegations initially came out, that Dylan had made. It wasn't that there was no credibility. The prosecutor said there was credibility in these charges and that the daughter was too fragile. The prosecutor believed that she wouldn't hold up on the witness stand. So I think the prosecutor's opinion is pretty important in this case. It's not just like, it's not like the McMartin case in New Jersey. It's a little more substantial than that.
Well, Paul, this gets to an important issue that I think a lot of the internet chatter about this has been picking apart the legal ins and outs, and we're movie consumers. Many of us who are doing this are not attorneys. So for you, it sounds like it's just you feel uncomfortable watching Woody Allen's movies and you don't want to support him.
I don't want to support him. I don't want to do anything to make him better. It just doesn't seem that he hasn't done anything. He has no remorse for pretty much anything he's done. And going off on a slight tangent, it's kind of like with the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman. Great actor, talented personality, and we have people that are standing outside his apartment for hours, holding a vigil, standing there with candles. He was a multimillionaire, and he died with a needle in his arm. He died a junkie on the bathroom floor, and here are people idolizing him, and, his death is affecting people because his art is gone. Maybe if he, if these people donated some time to, volunteering in a shelter or in a rehab facility, they'd see what the opportunities that this man and he blew up, and we're kind of feeling sorry. And I just don't understand. I can't wrap my head around the whole idea of that.
Thank you for your call, Paul. Of course, on the show yesterday, we talked a lot about the experience of addiction and trying to not judge people going through addiction and seeking treatment.
I'm really not a big fan of making an equivocation between having a drug abuse problem and being an alleged child molester. But that's just me.
Robert in Rigo Park, how do you feel about Woody Allen movies?
What I'd like to say is this. I'm a yoga teacher. I love philosophy. My statement is this, is that, Woody Allen is a great artist. I love a lot of artists. Michael Jackson had his story. So I particularly like to just see the purity of people as a reflection of my own self rather than getting involved with individual people, and that everyone has their own cause and effect. Actions will have to deal with their own karma, but I prefer just to see divine love in everyone.
Thanks for your call, Robert. And Matt, just to close, anything else you want to add? I mean, even the callers who say, I want to separate the art from the artist, we care an awful lot about artists' lives when we care about their work.
Well, we care a lot about artists' work, I think. I don't think we care that much about the life unless we know them personally, except in as much as it informs our understanding of the work. But what I do want to say is, in the last few days, I have had an extraordinary number of conversations with people who have been physically or sexually abused as kids who I had no idea. None. And, I was one of those people. I grew up with pretty severe domestic violence in my childhood. And I've never said that publicly, at least not on the radio. And I wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been for the arguments occurring around this Allen and Farrow case. So as horrible as it might sound to think that there's a silver lining in all this, maybe that's the silver lining.
That we're talking about all of these issues that arise, such passions, shame, family histories, the complicated human experience. Thanks so much for joining us for this conversation, Matt Zollersites. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll talk to New York Magazine's Justin Davidson about whether gentrification always deserves its bad reputation.